Welcome to the Heavenly Warriors Radio Network, training people all over the world to fight spiritual darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6:12. The Lord says, His people perish for lack of knowledge. Heavenly Warriors is dedicated to spreading the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're tired of being a human punching bag for the devil, and you're hungry for more Holy Spirit power in your life, stay tuned.
All right, I want to welcome everybody back to our Monday, April 20th, 2015 broadcast. Next up, from Texas, Pastor Rick Bell, HeavenlyWarriors.com. Brother Rick, welcome back to the broadcast.
It's great to be back with you, Shannon. I always look forward to this every week, getting to come on with you and share what the Lord has been showing me in the Holy Ghost, Jim.
Well, I'm looking forward to the teaching tonight. You've got a solid hour beginning now. We're starting a little bit late tonight, but no big deal. We're going to make it up beginning now. Take it away, my brother.
Praise God. I tell you, the most important thing when I come on Omega Man, the thing that I want to do more than anything else is give someone who is listening, give everyone who is listening a takeaway. Something they can take away from this teaching and immediately implement in their life that is going to make a difference. You see, for far too long, we've just gone to church and gone through the motions. And we've heard good sermon after good sermon and good preaching and good singing. But it's time for some implementation. It's time to take some knowledge and apply that knowledge so that we can be better when we leave this meeting than when we came to this meeting. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Amen.
So tonight we're going to talk about the importance of having a spiritual sparring partner. Now, for those of you who have not, or that are new to this teaching series, this is Getting in Shape in the Holy Ghost Gym. I'm currently writing a book and getting nearly finished with it, called Boxing Blindfolded with Demons. And the point of it that the Lord gave me was to take the teaching that I had from my background as a professional fighter, someone who gloved up, as we say, and got in the ring and literally fought with tough guys, take the principles I learned with that and apply them to spiritual warfare, because many, many of the principles are the same. And tonight we're going to talk about having a sparring partner. Now, what is a sparring partner? Well, in the fight game, in the gym, that is having someone to practice your punching and your offense and defense within the ring. In other words, having a partner who is going to oppose you so that you can get your training and practice the moves that you're making. Now, the sparring partner has to be a special individual. You have to have a person who you can trust, who's not going to get in the ring and hurt you or take advantage of you. You have to have a sparring partner who is competent enough to be able to stretch you, to grow you. In other words, it wouldn't do you any good to go to the boxing gym, get your gloves on, get in the ring with an 11-year-old Girl Scout. That's not going to make you any better. You're probably going to win that fight, but it's not going to make you any better when it's all said and done. So you're going to have a sparring partner who can challenge you, who can bring you up, who can grow you, stretch you a little further than you were when you first came in. Now, the great thing about Omega Man Radio, you guys are an online sparring partner. And what do I mean by that? There's a scripture in the Bible in Proverbs 27:17, and it says, iron sharpens iron. See, our goal as Christians is to sharpen one another, to get each other in the best possible shape for the race ahead, as Paul would say, or the fight ahead, as we would say in the Holy Ghost gym. See, a training partner has your best interest at heart. And they will encourage you when you need encouraging. They will strengthen you. They will give you what you need when you don't have it. And they will see things in you that you may not see in yourself. Now, the problem is we have all had sparring partners in our lives. You probably just didn't realize it. Your sparring partner may have been a critical parent who criticized everything that you did. When you felt like you'd done well in school and you brought a report card home with an A, the critical parent may have wanted to know why you didn't have an A+. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. That kind of a sparring partner is going to crush your spirit. They're not going to help you. That's going to hurt you. So it's very important to find the right person who is going to bring you up and help sharpen the iron that you already have. The great thing about Omega Man Radio is you can tune in every day, every night. You can listen in the archives, and you can continually sharpen your sword. Iron sharpens iron. You need the sharpest weapon you can possibly have so that you can beat back the enemy who is out to get you. He's out to attack you. He is attacking as we speak. There are plans underway right now for another ambush on you, another attack. So if you have someone who you can share the word, bounce it off of each other, listen to, you see, when I tune in to Omega Man, my iron is getting sharpened. When I listen to these men and women of God teaching this word, I'm getting sharper. When I'm preaching, as I am right now, I'm getting sharper. This is the iron sharpening iron that the Word talks about. And the next thing we have to consider when we're growing and we're getting in shape is we want to look at what are our weaknesses? What do we not do as well as we should do? And that's really the hardest area to look at, to judge yourself in something that you need to come up in. The Bible talks about judging yourself. It says, don't judge others lest you be judged. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31, it says, judge yourself, because if you don't judge yourself, you're going to get judged. So let's just read that. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll pick up with verse 27. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. He's talking about the church people. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So when you look at this passage, the passage I just read, it's speaking specifically here about communion and taking the bread, the body and blood of Jesus, in an unworthy manner. But if we look at that and apply it to all of our life, it really has the same application. When we go out and we represent Jesus, there are certain standards that we must carry as we go. And we need to look at those things. There was a campaign a few years back. Everywhere you looked, there were bumper stickers that said, what would Jesus do? WWJD. That's a good question. That campaign's kind of faded away now. But that's a good thought. What would Jesus do in this situation? What would he do that would bring honor to his Father? What do we need to do that would bring honor to Jesus? Here's a good example of that. One of the hardest areas that people struggle with is keeping their temper under control. I would venture to say that probably everyone listening to this broadcast does not struggle with overt outward sin. I would venture to say that no one is actively engaged in debauchery and drunkenness and those things that are expressly forbidden in the Word. And if you are, you need to repent and put that stuff aside. Because you represent the Lord. You're representing Jesus in this. But probably the thing that you may struggle with is you may have a little bit of an anger problem. May have a little bit of a temper thing that still flares up from time to time when you have just the right person push your button. And we all struggle with this. This tends to be the Achilles heel of a lot of pastors that I've known. There's something you see, your strengths that God gave you, Satan will often work on those strengths to use them against you and turn them into weaknesses. And here is what I mean by that. Many times, the very passion that drives a minister to do the things he does, to serve people, that passion and that drive that gives him the impetus to stand up in front of people and put sermons together and want to deliver that, Satan will sometimes take that drive that he has and just push it a little over the edge so that he's a little bit quick to snap, especially if he's under stress. I can promise you, people are watching your walk. If you name the name of Jesus, as you should, everyone who knows you should know you are a Christian. If they don't, that's an area that you need to work on. There needs to be some difference in you and everyone else. If you fit in with the world, you're going to need to examine yourself. You are supposed to be a peculiar people. You can't be like the rest of the world. You're going to be a little bit different. And the sooner you start to look at yourself and extract yourself from the way the world responds, the better you're going to be. Here's an example. I do some magazine editing. That's one of the things that I do, one of the skills I have. Work in some fairly complex software that's designed to do newspapers and magazines, and I've been doing it for many years, so it's difficult, but it's easy for me because I'm quite used to it. So I work with some people that I do most of the work that I do, and I don't really charge a lot of money to do it. I try to help them out as best I can, and I have to charge something. But so I have a phone call from one of these people who I work really hard and go way above and beyond the call of duty to help and put together a publication for this person. And the person calls me, and he's often short with me, has an anger problem, to be absolutely honest with you. So he calls me this weekend, and I asked him a simple question, and he responded by completely going off on me. You know, just absolutely, completely uncalled for, because I'm helping this person. Now, what do you think my flesh wanted to do? You know what it wanted to do. The same thing your flesh wants to do. Rise up. Say what you want to say. And that is where the control has to come in. Because my flesh immediately went there, and I thought I can't say this. I can't respond this way. I am a minister. This man knows I am. So I just was quiet and let him say what he wanted to say, never getting into the fight, never getting angry, never responding that way. It's always better for God's people to take the low road. Don't try to one-up someone. Just let it be. And be the peacemaker. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. So let this person do his thing. And then I said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to happen. So what can we do to get that better? And immediately he backed down and the whole situation was de-escalated. You've heard me speak about de-escalation when we were police officers, when I was a police officer. Our training was mainly focused around de-escalating bad situations, not escalating them, not making a riot worse, but to try to calm down the individuals. You as a Christian are going to have to learn to de-escalate yourself. Because it is very easy to be drawn into a trap. Satan will set a trap for you to get you to respond in anger, to bring strife. And the Bible says where strife is present, every evil work is there also. So Satan will set a trap for you to get angry, to blow up, to go off on someone. And I can promise you after you do, after you vent, you may feel real good for about a minute and a half, and then you're going to feel terrible because you just realized you took several steps back in your progress. And here's what I mean by that. We work really hard to gain fitness, to gain spiritual ground. So what we're doing here, we're working out and we're getting in shape. And every bit of ground that we gain, we want to hold on to. We don't want to give that ground back to the enemy. Every time you act out and someone gets you mad, someone pushes your buttons, someone gets you to respond in the way that if you had the little t-shirt on that says, what would Jesus do? You know what you're doing wouldn't be what Jesus would do. So anytime you do that, you lose a little ground that you need. You lose a little Holy Ghost fitness that you need. It's like this. I'll put it in terms you can understand. If you're on a diet program, if you've ever been on a really rigid, strict, fast weight loss thing, and you're on it for a month or two, and you start to really drop the weight. If you go out and get a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts and sit down and eat them and drink a half a gallon of chocolate milk, your body is going to respond to that. And believe it or not, you are not going to get over that in one workout. Your body's going to feel sluggish and lethargic, and it's going to feel like you put some poison in it because you've been on a strict training regimen. I know this to be a fact. When I was a fighter, we had a very strict diet we had to stay on because your body is going to perform a certain way based on the foods you are putting in your body. An example is, about 4 weeks before my fight, I would start cutting, is what they call it. It's cutting the weight. It's not physically cutting yourself with a razor blade. Cutting the weight. And the way that would happen would be, I would go on a strict tuna fish diet. Tuna fish and water. And eat that until the night of the fight. And when the fight was over, then I would go and as we say, pig out. But it was a very strict tuna fish diet because that tuna fish would cause my body to react in a certain way that I wanted. By the same token, if I had gone and purchased a dozen Krispy Kremes and eaten them, that would have shown up in the ring. I can promise you, if I'd eaten Krispy Kremes the night before the fight, I would have gotten in the ring and probably not won. When I retired from fighting, I took up the sport of long distance cycling and triathlons, if any of you know what that is, just because I wanted to still compete, and I had already been running as a boxer 6 miles a day every day for years. So I thought, well, that would be a nice little competitive transition. So I got into competitive bicycling, and I decided I wanted to race. So I went out on my first little race here, and there was a group of about, I'll just say, 100 riders. And I had my shiny new bicycle and all my the little Lycra shorts I had to have and the helmet, and I was all decked out for that. And the starting gun goes off, and I take off, and I'm right up at the front, and I'm riding strong. And it was a 64-mile race. Now, that sounds really, really long to people who are not into cycling, but in cycling terms, that's about a mid-length race. So at about 25 miles, now I had been training, I had been riding, but at about 25 miles, I started feeling pretty poor. By the time I was at about 40 miles, out of 100 riders, I was in position number 100. There was, I came to find out, a 65-year-old grandmother ahead of me that I tried really, really hard to catch up to. And I think out of the goodness of her heart, she slowed down so I could catch her, because I was out there and I was hurting. So when I caught up to Granny, she said, "How are you doing?" I said, "I'm not doing very well." Her first question to me was, "What have you eaten?" I said, "What?" She said, "What have you eaten?" I said, "Well, what do you mean, for supper last night?" She said, "No, on the ride." I said, "Well, I haven't eaten anything on the ride." She said, "Ah, that's the problem." She said, "You have to eat. You have to eat while you're riding, because your body is burning so many calories, you've hit the wall and you don't have any more calories in reserve." So she went on to explain to me for the rest of the ride, as I rode slowly in and she rode with me. I guess she assumed she was in 99th position. It wouldn't hurt to hang back with the number 100th guy. She explained to me how important it was when you're doing that sport that you eat something. You have exactly, now this is right down to the wire. She said you can ride for exactly 50 minutes, and then you have to eat one of those power bars. And then after that, every 30 minutes, you have to set your watch. It has to have a little alarm on it. Every 30 minutes, you take another bite of that power bar. Not the whole thing, just a bite and a swallow of water. And if you will do that, you will ride that bicycle all day long. Now, she was exactly right, because the very next event, I did exactly what she said, and it was completely different. I finished the race, and I was somewhere in the middle of the pack. And before long, I was at the front. I was actually winning some races. But it was all because of that nutrition that I put in. So the nutrition you put in spiritually has the exact same effect on you. This stuff that I'm talking about is what you need. This is, if you will, the tuna fish of the Holy Spirit diet. This is the no fat, no fluff stuff. You see, what you normally get in church is the Krispy Kreme donut diet. You get the good tasting, feeling stuff. Why? Why is that what you get when you go to the average church? Quite easily, I'll just sum it all up in one little phrase. It's because they want to keep you coming back. You can go in any town and you can look at the boxing gym and then drive down to the Krispy Kreme donut shop and see how much more popular the donut shop is than the boxing gym. So you're not going to get typically the kind of training food that you need in the average established church. You're going to have to go a little bit further, and that's where Omega Man comes in. That's where this training comes in. So tonight, your exercise is to do self-examination into the areas of your life that you are struggling with. And it can be a subtle thing. It can be a little habit that you've tried to put down for a long time and you can't do it. Listen, any addiction you have is not pleasing to the Lord. Let me say that again. Any addiction you have is not pleasing to the Lord. God put you on this earth to subdue the earth, not for the earth to subdue you. So whatever it is you're addicted to, whether it be caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, food, the internet, the Facebook, whatever commands you, you do not have command of that. So I want you to start looking at those areas. You may look at all of them at once and say, I need to do this, 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 and this. And you immediately attack those areas. Or you may see these areas and say, I can't do all that at once. I need to just start on this. And that is fine. Listen, as long as you are making progress, as long as you're progressing, it's all right. You're not going to necessarily get all of this overnight, just like you're not going to get in shape to fight a title fight overnight. It's a process. But as long as you are moving forward and you're not feasting on Krispy Kremes, because the Krispy Kreme sermons will not do you any good. Not going to help. When it'll make you feel good. You'll feel motivated and you'll think, oh man, I like that guy. I like that preaching. Man, I feel like I can go conquer the world right now. Well, you know, there's a time for encouragement. I'm not against that. But I'm also a pragmatist. I'm very practical. And if you're not learning how to get stronger, where the what would Jesus do applies more to you, then you're in the wrong place. When I had my gym, and again, just for those of you who don't know the background, I was in a town called Marshall, Texas, and Marshall, Texas is the home of George Foreman, and he happened to be there training for his second career. He was in his second career when I was training in my fighting career. So I was in the same little 20,000 person town as George Foreman. It's not a big town. So I had the opportunity and the privilege to train with the guys that were training with George Foreman. This was invaluable. This is a dream come true for someone wanting to learn the fight game, the boxing game. And I never understood why, when I was a kid, I wanted to grow up and be a boxer. Now that's far-fetched. No one in my family was a boxer. But I had this desire. I wanted to grow up and be a boxer. So much so that I was actually considering going to college just so I could be on a boxing team. So I started looking at colleges for a college that had a boxing team, and I couldn't find one. There, to my knowledge, I don't know of any to this day that have boxing teams. They have wrestling teams. But I really wanted to box, and I often question, why did I want to box? The rest of my childhood friends wanted to play baseball and basketball and football. I wanted to box. Found some old boxing gloves in my aunt's attic that were probably circa 1940, and I'd put those things on. There were two pair of them. Any neighborhood kid who would play boxing with me, I would play. But I ask myself often, why was that? Why did I want to do that? Now I understand. It's because as an adult, this all played into why I'm on Omega Man Radio right now in 2015 talking to you about this. Why was I so fortunate to happen to live in the same town as George Foreman, who was probably, not probably, was one of the greatest boxers in the history of the sport. Why was I just happened to be in my fighting career when he was in the midst of his? And it was because of this. Because I'm writing this book and telling you right now how this correlates one to the other. So I had this gym, and it was a very, shall we say, real experience. There was no playtime in my gym. When you came in there, you were in the midst of George Foreman's world-class fighters, along with my world-class kickboxers and myself, and I wasn't no slouch. I could pretty much knock out just about anybody in my weight category, and that's why I became a champion. So I had this environment of realism, shall we say. And I would have these guys come to my gym. You know, when you have a little bit of notoriety, people are looking to make a name for themselves, so they're going to knock you off. So routinely, and this would happen usually once a week, someone would come to my gym, and they would want to, quote-unquote, join my team, be a part of it. But what they really wanted was to get in the ring with me and rough me up or knock me out so they could walk out of there and say, ha, those guys aren't so tough. I knocked Rick Bell out. That's what they really wanted. But in reality, of course, that didn't happen because the training methods that we used were so effective and extreme that these guys would come in there and they would be the stars of their little world and their own little gym where they came from. The problem was they didn't have that reality training that we had coming from Foreman's guys. Whole different world. So they would get in the ring and they would be, let's just say they would not be victorious. And they would walk out with their tail tucked between their leg and we'd never see them again. What was happening? What was going on? Well, they were getting training. They just were not getting effective training. They were learning how to fight. They just weren't learning the right way to fight. Many of you are the same. We've been taught things that really won't work when it comes to fighting demons, fighting the demonic world. And in the church world, appearances are very important. You know, Jesus called them a bunch of whitewashed fences with dead men's bones. And a good example of that is I had a fighter come to me, and he was a really nice guy. I trained him. He was a former Mr. Texas bodybuilder. I mean, the guy was, he was a monster. You could imagine what it takes to be a bodybuilder at that level. This guy was huge. His biceps were, I don't know, is bigger than my legs. Huge muscle guy. When he would get in the ring, his opponent would just literally faint from fear when the guy took off his robe. This guy looked like, Adonis in there. But the problem was, he really didn't know how to fight. He looked real good, but he could not do anything. And hence, he would lose. He was too big to move, and he really didn't know how to punch. Many in the church world are not in shape. They look good. Everything looks good on the outside. But they're not in shape to get in the ring. They can walk around and make people think that they've got it all going on. But I'm here to tell you, the more and more and more people that I meet in the church world, good people, nice people, I'm discovering without any doubt, most of them don't have a clue when it comes to any power or what they need to be doing. They don't have a clue. Some people maybe that I thought used to have a clue. I'm discovering they really don't. And it's a rude awakening for all of us. Because we not only want to look like we know what we're doing, we want to know what we're doing. We have to know what we're doing. You see, talent will take you to the ring, but training is what is going to get you out of the ring in one piece. So your talent will only take you so far, but then you have to do something with that talent. You have to train. You have to learn some things. You have to learn more than you know now. There's a lot to learn about spiritual warfare. I gave the assignment last week to take one book at a time in the Bible. One book. You choose. I recommended Acts to start with, but you take that one book and you read it and read it and read it and highlight it and pretend as if that's the only book in the world for a season, and you become an expert on everything about that book from the beginning, the first word, to the last word. Read commentaries on that book. And don't try to resist going off on rabbit trails, because you're like me. When I start to read and try to study something, I'll see a reference. I'll look over there. I'll make the mistake of looking, and then I'm off on a whole different thing. So have the discipline to take one book, decide that you're going to do it. Look at that book, read commentaries, read the background, read what you can find out about the author. Now, some of the commentaries you're going to read are going to be off the mark a little bit. I'll tell you that. But you are going to have discernment if you're following the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, my sheep know my voice and they'll follow no other. So when you're reading these various commentaries, realize some of the guys don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit that are writing these. In fact, a lot of them, they come from a vantage point of not having the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if they don't, I'll just be honest with you, I don't put a lot of stock in a lot that they say, and that's just the truth. They can be great scholars. They can be very well-educated men with great degrees and letters behind their names. But the qualifier for me, or the disqualifier, is how do they treat Acts 2? How do they treat that Holy Spirit? Because I know it's real. It happened to me. It happened to me when I was an atheist. No one talked me into it. I was an atheist, and I closed my eyes, and Jesus appeared, and he said, "Come unto me." And I said, "Yes, Lord," and I began to speak in tongues. No one told me, "Hey, Rick, start speaking in tongues now." No one said, "Hey, this is how it sounds. Try to emulate this sound." It happened to me. So as you read commentaries, just be discerning and realize there is a lot of information in the world, and some of it is not going to help you get any tougher in your training. Some of it is Krispy Kreme donut stuff. It sounds real good, but it's not going to toughen you up. But I want you to start discerning that. That's part of being a spiritual warrior. You have to sharpen your discernment. So read commentaries, take the one book of the Bible, study it, whatever it is, spend a month on it, reading it inside out, make notes, highlight it. Then make yourself a book report. Just like you were told to do in school, make a book report with in mind that you are going to teach a Bible study on this book. Write down every topic, every theme of every chapter. What are they saying in this chapter? So that you will be a thoroughly well-read expert, if you will, on that book. And you do that one at a time, one book at a time in the Bible. And that's how you retain it. When you have, here's your next step. That was phase one. That was last week's assignment. I told you to take a book, make a book report, study it. When you have the book report made and the outline done, I want you to call three of your Christian friends and say, hey, I'm going to start a Bible study, and I want you to come over. We're going to do it, once a week. We'll do it on, Tuesday night. You know, pick a day, pick a time. About an hour. Just going to go over this, this book. And then they come. And then you begin to teach it, and it takes the information to an entirely different level. Once you teach something, it goes to a different level than when you just studied it and read it. So when you are teaching it, it's going to come alive to you, and you're going to see things that you never, ever did. And guess what? You're in the ministry. Some of you say, I could never see myself being in the ministry. Call one person and say, I wrote this Bible study, and I want to go over it with you. Let's just do that. Spend a few weeks with me and tell me what you think of it. And you've begun to minister to someone that way. Do it with your spouse. Do it with your husband, your wife, your best friend, coworker, anyone. But the important thing is that you just get in motion. Just start to study, start to read, and start to put together information that's going to make you stronger, tougher, have more stamina, eating the right stuff, like I told you about my tuna fish story and the bicycle race, because you need to be concerned with this stuff, the training stuff, the practical things of what you need to do. I've known fighters before, literally, who were more concerned with how their custom-made robe was going to look that they wore into the ring. They were more concerned with the glitter and the colors that was going to be on that than how they trained for the fight. I don't want you to be one of those fighters. When Mike Tyson was in his career, he didn't even wear socks in his shoes. If you look at some of his earlier fights, he wore these black trunks. And he wore these black shoes with no socks. And someone asked him, Mike, why don't you wear socks in your shoes? He said, because I like to feel my toes gripping into the canvas when I throw that hard punch. So it's not about all the flash, but it's about the substance. And that's what this series is about, is getting you some substance. So when the fight does come, you're ready. I want you to be ready. You see, we are watching the undercard develop now. On any fight card, there's a main event, and that's the last fight. And then there are 4, 5, 6, however many undercard fights that start early in the evening. For instance, if the main event starts at 10 p.m., the preliminary bouts, the undercard bouts, start somewhere 6:30, 7, so that people have entertainment as they're coming, getting ready for the main event. What we are watching now are the undercard fights. We're watching the prelude to the main event. Little by little, you see a little skirmish here, a little skirmish there, but the main event's coming. Guess who's in the main event? That's right, you. Your name's on the poster. You're the one they've been watching. They've been studying. Your opponent's been watching every move you make. See, fighters scout their opponents. They will watch hours of film and tape to see the little idiosyncrasies. So your opponent has been watching you, and he's probably picked up on a couple of little things he can capitalize on. For instance, if you're a fighter, you may have a habit of dropping your left hand. Your hands have to stay up by your cheekbones all the time for defense and protection, but you may have a habit of letting that left hand slip down, and if it does, a smart fighter is watching you, and when you drop it, he's going to throw a straight right hand right over the top, and you can't stop it. It's coming straight to your cheekbone. So that's one of the things he may notice. The demons who are preparing for the main event with you, they may notice that, hey, this guy, if you can just put enough stress on him in that parking lot, when someone gets his parking space, he'll go off and he'll have a meltdown and we'll get right in there and we will occupy. And then he'll have a really hard time getting us out. So you're being watched. You're being scouted for the main event. So what I'm telling you to do, get in that word. Let the Holy Spirit tell you where he wants you to start in that Bible. And don't just read it. I'll read a few verses in John, then I'll skip over to Matthew, then I'll go to Proverbs, and I might go to Ecclesiastes. There's a time to do that. But what I'm telling you to do is take one book at a time and become an expert. So that if you're having a discussion next week around the water cooler in your office, I don't even think they have water coolers anymore. I think everyone has bottled water. But if you're having a discussion, you're able to be thoroughly versed on whatever book of the Bible you've studied. And that's where you put down the Krispy Kreme donuts and you start getting the meat of the word. Cut out the fluff and get to training. As we've been saying since the beginning of this, part of your workout is praying in tongues. Yep, that's right. I said it. I said the T word, praying in tongues. No, tongues did not go away. They have not vanished. As a matter of fact, there is a revival going on right now, in my ministry at least, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the last, last half dozen times I've prayed for people to receive the Holy Spirit, it's falling on them. And that has not always been the case. But there is an anointing available right now. The Holy Spirit is falling. In the last days, the word says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I believe we're there. And that Holy Spirit's available to you. If you haven't yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's what you set a Skype time with me to get together and pray with Brother Shannon or myself so that we can pray and move you into that power. If you do have it, if you have the baptism and you do pray in tongues, start to pray more than ever. Pray first thing in the morning, pray mid-morning, pray at lunch, pray right after lunch, pray on the drive to and from work, pray any time that you're not speaking to someone else, pray in the Spirit because there's power in that. Have a direct line to God when you are moving in that Holy Spirit power. So my time is just about up for this particular session, and I want to give you my contact information before I get off. And that is, you can contact me, the best way to get me is through email, and that is rickteaches@aol.com, rickteaches, RICKTEACHES, @aol.com. My website is heavenlywarriors.com, and I have a new feature on there. I'd like for you to go and sign up. There's a thing to join my training team. And I'm going to be doing some emails and some audio, special audios, maybe some videos to you, sending those out. And we're trying to just get a good group of people together that want to train and do this. And that's at heavenlywarriors.com. It's right there on the front page. The sign up sheet is there. And Brother Shannon, if you're there, come on in.
Praise the Lord. I want to welcome everybody tonight. It's an honor to bring to you tonight and every Monday night, Pastor Rick Bell of Heavenly Warriors. Brother Rick, great teaching tonight for the archive. What do we title tonight's broadcast?
Let's call this The Importance of a Spiritual Sparring Partner.
Awesome. If you're coming in late, I want to tell you to go back and pick this one up and check out every episode that Brother Rick has done. You can go right over to heavenlywarriors.com, listen to those. You can also go to the iTunes section of Mega Man Radio. We're putting them up there within about 24 to 48 hours. Now, Brother Rick, I'm really enjoying this program that you're doing, and I'm also looking forward to seeing your book come out. So that's in the works, and you also do a radio show. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I do. And the best place to probably find my radio show is through podcasts. That, as I'm looking at the different options to do this, that seems to me to be the easiest place for the most people to find what I'm doing. So what I do is I'll do a radio show, and it's called an RSS feed. It will come from my server, and then it goes out. So the best thing to do is go to whatever your podcast app is and just do a search on Heavenly Warriors. I will normally pop up as the number one in that category, or maybe heavenlywarriors.com. But just you can go to iTunes and find me under podcasts, Heavenly Warriors, and you can listen to every one of not only these shows, but I do more things. And I have guest pastors and preachers who are powerful, anointed men and women of God who we're all on the same mission, and that is to bring more power to the church. That's the purpose of heavenlywarriors.com. So go to the website, sign up, go to whatever app that you like to listen to your podcasts on. And if you don't know what a podcast is, and some of you may not, if you go to iTunes and you do a search under in the iTunes store under podcasts, they've got a little search box, and you can type in heavenlywarriors.com, and it will pull me up, and you just hit a subscribe button, and then you'll get all the new episodes whenever it comes out. So most of you guys that are on Omega Man are tech savvy, you're computer people, or you wouldn't be on this message board and know how to do all this stuff. So that's a pretty easy thing for you to do, but we're trying to build a community here. Brother Shannon and Omega Man and some others, we're working with some pastors around the country who had the same vision that we do. And we're trying to get God's people together in some sort of a training facility, some way to do this, that you can receive some of this information, because you need it. We need it more than ever. So go to heavenlywarriors.com, and that'll pretty much tell you what to do.
Fantastic. Now, Brother Rick, if someone would like to support your ministry, how can they do that?
There is a PayPal link right on the front page of my website, and you just click the PayPal link, and of course it's secure, and you can donate any amount that you like. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart to do is greatly appreciated, and it's right there at heavenlywarriors.com, first page, right there down on the right. Just click the button, and that's how they can support if they would like to do that.
Do you have a mailing address also, a P.O. box or anything you'd like to give out for those that want to use snail mail to contact you?
They can, I tell you what, just have them email me, and I'll give them that contact information. Just email me at rickteaches@aol.com, and I'll give you the address and all of that if you wanted to do that way and send it out. Happy to do that. And actually, if you'll go to my website, my phone number's on there, so you can actually call me or text me, as many of you do. And I appreciate all that. I get a lot of those calls and texts, so sometimes it takes me a little bit of time to respond, because I try to respond, and I do, to each and every one who reaches out to me. It means a lot. We are brothers and sisters in this fight together, and I'm so happy to hear your stories when you do respond and tell me how something I said on this broadcast, it really touched you, and you related to it, and how it has changed you. That's what we do this for. We do this so that we can hear those testimonies that this is making a difference, because as Brother Shannon will tell you, this is a labor. Doing this is a labor, and all that we want out of it, and Shannon will tell you, is to know that somebody is being blessed. And when you tell us that, it is a wonderful affirmation from the Lord to us. The Lord's using you to encourage us to go on. Amen, brother?
Amen. That makes it all worth the while there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother, I really appreciate you. I enjoy these teachings, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week. And again, I want to encourage everybody to go to heavenlywarriors.com, sign up over there, and support the ministry, be a part of this end time work, the Holy Ghost Gem.
Hallelujah. And anyone who wants prayer, feel free to contact me right after the show. I'm actually having ministers begin to stand by, people that are part of my ministry, so that we can do some Skype ministry to people, because that's important. And there are a lot of people reaching out to me for that very reason. So let's close in prayer, and then we'll go. Father God, I thank you for these wonderful brothers and sisters who tune in to Omega Man, who become a part of this community, who reach out, the God chasers, the thirsty ones who are wanting a drink. Father God, thank you, and lead them where they need to go, lead their feet, order their steps, and God bless the things that they attempt to do that you've called them to do. Open those doors so that their ministries can begin to flourish. Bless Brother Shannon and Omega Man Radio, and Father God, until we come back and do this again next week, keep us all safe and send those across our path that we have a word for. In Jesus' name we say, amen.
Amen. Lord God, I just ask that you bless Brother Rick, expand his ministry, God, bless his family, in the mighty name of Jesus. Brother Rick, thank you for coming on tonight. We'll see you next week.
God bless you, Brother Shannon.
God bless you, my friend.